First, from the Shepherd Express in Milwaukee to Madison's Isthmus, alternative weekly newspapers have long been an important part of the news and cultural fabric of Wisconsin. But with the recent news of the Village Voice stopping its print edition, and with publications in Boston, San Francisco, and Philadelphia going under in recent years, the future of the All Weekly is looking tenuous. David Dudley joins us now. He's executive editor for City Lab, and he recently wrote an article called What Cities Lose When an Alt-Weekly Dies. David, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, first of all, what role do you think an alternative weekly newspaper plays in a city or a community?
Well, the idea I was trying to get at, and I should foreground it by saying I like a lot of people in journalism, All Weeklies were where I learned how to do the job. They were, a quintessential sort of first stop for a lot of developing journalists in their heyday. And part of what I wanted to get at was how I thought during the time when All Weeklies were sort of ascendant in the 80s and 90s, I guess, at least in my world. They really help sort of define the city's character in a way, and in a way that was distinct from local newspapers, which in many cases a lot of people who were working for the dailies, especially in an era when they had out-of-town owners. But these were writers who kind of did a couple of years at the local daily, and then they moved to a bigger or a smaller site, so they didn't necessarily have a lot of kind of deep local roots. The people who wrote for All Weeklies were people who really lived there and probably had lived there for a while, and they weren't going anywhere. And the All Weekly newspapers, I really felt, had a way of sort of capturing sort of the zeitgeist of the place and expressing what people who lived there were upset about and what they loved and what they hated, and really sort of kind of setting the agenda in terms of what the residents really cared about. And that's something that is going to be very hard to replace.
And at a certain point along the paths, Alt Weeklies were also known for having an edgier voice and an edgier content.
Indeed. And when we talk about what sort of the voice of the Internet is and what sort of the tone of digital journalism is, sort of the blog style of reportage, which we've kind of become very familiar with in the last decade, that was something that was developed and honed by places like the Village Voice in the 70s and all the All Weeklies that followed in its wake. You know, the irreverence and the snark and the kind of the fearlessness and the willingness to go there is something that All Weeklies were kind of built to do.
A lot of strands about what's happened that's leading to the decline of Alt Weeklies, but do you think that part of it is that the things that made it unique and made an alternative weekly special kind of got absorbed by the bigger daily newspapers?
Yeah, that's definitely a part of it, and I should say that it's also something that it's not like this. We woke up one morning and the model was dying. You know, it is something that we saw a decade ago or earlier. You know, the business reasons were kind of a corollary of the same business challenges the daily newspapers and print publications in general are facing, which is that the classified advertising all disappeared when Craigslist rose, and to a degree the local advertisers just disappeared because the model no longer worked. And so it's not a surprise. Most people who you talk to kind of nationally when they hear the voices not publishing in print, they sort of admit, well, it's been years since I actually picked up a copy. So the death of the Alt Weekly and the Alt Weekly death spiral is something that has been sort of slowly gathering kind of momentum. And it's part of a larger challenge, which is sort of this dimming of local newspapers in smaller cities.
So if we think about these alternative weeklies as kind of like the town square where people come together to share their favorite restaurant recommendations or their gripes about their communities, that kind of thing, is there something to take its place right now?
There is. I mean, it's part of this is just a sheer matter of technology, and all these voices have migrated online. And some of the things that, that people will, you know, say that they love about All Weeklies have definitely their soul has been transferred to other platforms. So you can get a lot, you know, you can get a lot of what you always wanted out of your All Weekly from various formats. What I think is lost is the sort of the localism. And the idea that, that someone nearby is who cares passionately about this is sharing their voice, because you know the other things that you got out of your Alt Weekly, you know, their sort of their coverage of culture and the sort of the muckraking spirit of it, you can get that elsewhere. It's just very hard to sort of collect it all into one box that everyone is sharing from. And, you know, that's just part of the great atomization of local journalism that, that accompanied the rise of the Internet. And it's a, you know, it's a challenge that we in the business are constantly kind of struggling with, is how to get enough eyeballs in front of local stories so that they can make some kind of financial sense and so that they can continue to do the work they need to do.
We're talking about the decline of alternative weekly newspapers right now with David Dudley. He's the executive editor of City Lab. The iconic Village Voice recently announced that it's going to be going to an online-only version, not doing the print version anymore. And in terms of, you know, keeping, as you said, kind of the soul of alternative weeklies alive, one thing that seems to have happened is that some really good writers have gotten to test their chops on alt weeklies, and then they go out and they write for bigger publications with bigger audiences. Has that affected journalism as a whole?
Oh yeah, I mean that's sort of what alt weeklies were famous for, is sort of being the farm team, where people would develop their skills. And you, to a degree, you kind of don't really need that anymore. You can just, you know, start on your own and kind of skip that whole kind of process. From, you know, people of my generation, and I'm in my late 40s, but it was very critical for us because it was, you know, functioned as a kind of a journalism school. And I don't know how my voice and my abilities would have been affected had I not actually worked with older professional editors and, you know, gone through that sort of filtering process and that training process. And one thing that I think a lot of people sort of miss about alt weeklies is that they were ways for people who were not, you know, coming out of the Ivy Leagues to get into journalism. They drew from local voices, and if you were good and you were, you know, willing to put in the crazy hours for the very little remuneration, you kind of moved on and moved up. So it was a great sort of mechanism for getting a more diverse group of people into journalism.
But I didn't know that Susan Orlean, for instance, had come from an alternative weekly.
Indeed. Many, many great names. Ta-Nehisi Coates is here at The Atlantic. He was here at the Washington City paper. David Carr, who was the late David Carr from The New York Times, is often cited as another great kind of voice who really kind of learned everything he learned by editing and working at Alt Weeklies. So, you know, the notion that what you're reading online is really kind of shaped by this format. And even if the format itself is dying, you're still kind of participating in the world that Alt Weeklies made.
Now, the subject of news, sort of the hard currency of news today, is something that's on the rise as we're in this era of, you know, both the way that, that journalism is fractured, but and the, you know, the idea of fake news has made people, it seems like, value news and what they might find from a credible source important. And that wasn't something that alt weeklies were necessarily known for, was reporting the news. Do you think that had a hand in what's happening, or has a hand in what's happening in the decline?
I'm not sure. You know, one of the things I wanted to get at when I wrote my piece was that the actual, you know, kind of quote unquote news was not a huge component of the average alt weekly's weekly diet, in the sense that, you know, the alt weeklies that I grew up with were very, very isolated from the news cycle. We didn't attempt to compete with the Daily in terms of covering, you know, school board meetings and kind of breaking events. We had this very strict kind of weekly publishing schedule, and this is all to our peril in the end, of course, because, you know, we were unable to compete when digital did come. But what all weeklies could do is that they could tell stories that weren't in that cycle, and they weren't on anyone else's radar. And you could do these long investigative pieces, and you could do, you know, very eccentric, perhaps too eccentric, storytelling about your city that otherwise these stories would never have been told. And it's hard to see exactly how to replace some of that. It was, you know, extremely kind of occasionally amateurish and self-indulgent, all those things. And that certainly lives on in the digital realm. It's healthier than ever. But one thing I always appreciated about All Weekly was that it did give a, there was a level of professionalism over the whole thing. It was copy edited. It was on paper. It had a sort of solidity. It existed in the real world, and you could sue the people who made it. And it really was, you know, a true kind of news outlet in that sense.
We're talking right now about the decline of alternative weekly newspapers right now and their importance in the communities they serve. David Dudley is with us right now. He's the executive editor for City Lab. And we'd love to hear from you on this. Do you read alt weeklies like Isthmus or Shepherd Express or Volume 1? And if so, why do you read them? Is it for the opinions, for the local coverage, for the cultural angles? And are these publications important to you, to your community? We want to get your take. You can call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll continue our conversation in just a bit here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert, and we're continuing the conversation with David Dudley, executive editor for City Lab, talking about the future of alternative weeklies. The iconic Village Voice recently announced that it was going to stop doing its print version, going to go to an online-only version, and we're seeing declines in alt weeklies elsewhere, too. And we want to hear from you on this. Do you read alt weeklies? What keeps you coming back? And how important do you think they are to your community? Do you read them? Do you still pick them up? Did you used to read them maybe back in the heyday of the alt weekly back in the 80s? And why did you stop, do you think? You can call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. And David, one thing you write about is you say that the writers and the producers of the alt weeklies, it seems as though they tended to be overwhelmingly white. Was that a problem for alt weeklies?
You know, it was a problem for journalism and remains one. And it's something that I think, you know, and I'm going to date myself, but so I was at an alt weekly in the early 1990s. And in a city with a majority African-American population, and we did not have a black person on staff, which is something that we talked about, at least. It was a very small staff, and there were all kinds of excuses made at the time, and we were, you know, attempted to overcome that. But it was, you know, looking back, kind of a shockingly homogenous staff, very young, mostly right out of college, and I think that was pretty typical of the business. It drew a young and fairly well-educated staff that, you know, often was not necessarily kind of tuned into the problems that the city has. That paper has gotten a lot more diverse and gotten a lot better at doing that part of the job. To a degree, I think journalism in general has too, but it's certainly an ongoing challenge. The question of sort of the progressive nature of alt weeklies is something that was always kind of baked into it, in the sense that the certainly at the time I was working at them, you know, you definitely sort of positioned yourself as being sort of the more fearless and more aggressive in your reporting than the daily alternatives. And these were particularly in cities that had two dailies where they had an old-fashioned three-way rivalry. It was a challenge. It was a very difficult job to sort of keep people at, because it didn't pay very well. And after a couple of years, people generally moved on. So you were just constantly cycling through staffers and bringing new voices in and moving new voices out. I think it had a very diverse readership, in the sense that, and this is one thing I noted, is that it even though you had, you know, a lot of sort of youthful kind of predilections being written about, we had readers from all ends of the age spectrum and the socioeconomic spectrum, which I think reflects the fact that there wasn't any digital competition. You know, it was a time when, if you wanted to read about local events, you really had a very limited number of options. And one, you know, good side effect of that was that you had this very, very vocal and committed and interested and diverse readership. Right now that is, you know, very much a different scene. You have so many more choices as a media consumer now, that you don't have to read the local, you know, music reviewer. You don't have to read the local movie reviewer. You can pick and choose amongst this vast menu of choices. So it really is that aspect of the model is entirely different now.
And you use the word progressive there as well, and that brought to mind for me left-wing politics, which also seemed like part of the identity of the alternative papers that I've been exposed to. Do you think that was part of the core identity, and how did that play out over the years?
It was definitely part of, I think, when if we go back to the Village Voice, which is 60-something years old and was the definer of the model. I think it varied widely from paper to paper. You had New York, you had the New York Press, which is alt weekly with a very conservative bent. There was a time when a lot of the alt weeklies were owned by the Phoenix New Times organization, which was, you know, not particularly progressive in its politics. I think the uniting factor was that alt weeklies were troublemakers. They were interested in troubling their local leaders, that was something that did not necessarily have an ideological component. They were very kind of old-fashioned, kind of looking for stories to win prizes and get the mayor upset, and depended on what party your mayor was from, whether you were the victim of it or not. You know, certainly in my experience working in alt weeklies, they were not uniform in their political leanings. They were just, as journalists tend to be, they wanted to go where the good stories were.
And you use the word cranky a couple times in your piece to describe the readers and sometimes the stories that came out. Do you think that serves a purpose, that kind of cranky vibe that, an online forum, in this case, an alt weekly can have, where people can just go and air their grievances?
Well, it's something's gone terribly wrong, because we've become a little more focused on the grievance airing than the idea sharing. But at the time, it was kind of bracing and refreshing to hear the sort of unvarnished opinions expressed with, you know, four-letter words and everything. And you know, the alt weekly is sort of a participant in the outrage culture of its time was something that was a real thing. What's happened since is that everyone gotten into the game, and outrage is something that is no longer such a rare commodity. It's a good question. Like, to what degree did alt weeklies sort of kind of release that genie? You know, at the time, there was a lot of it was part of sort of the edgy kind of character of the paper that it had the power to sort of, you know, print unvarnished quotes with all the profanity intact and to really sort of tap into things that were legitimately outrageous. I don't think in general, you know, they were, fomenting outrage for outrage's sake. You know, the hot take of on Alt Weekly was not necessarily the hot take of today, in part because we were on a different news cycle, and you really, you know, you couldn't just, you know, leap out and bash out an angry Jeremiah about something that may have happened 4 or 5 days ago. So you really had to be a little more thoughtful and deliver something that was a little more lasting, I think. And I think that is something that in our current news cycle, which is real so driven by social media and sort of the outrage of the hour, it's just hard to kind of connect that to how Alt Weekly's operated.
David, it's been fun. Thanks so much for joining us.
Sure. Thank you.
That was David Dudley, executive editor for City Lab, and we've been talking about the twilight of alternative weekly newspapers as the iconic Village Voice announces that they're going to an online-only format.